Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Alicia Andrews, as I just mentioned, is keeping us company all morning long. Alicia, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, everyone.
And joining us right now, it's a fan favorite, our weekly visit with the one and only Joe DeGenova, former U.S. Attorney of the District of Columbia, and just a great guy overall. Hey, Joe, happy Monday to you.
And the same to you, Larry.
Let's start with President Biden's mandate. You tell me, you know the law, you know statutes, and you know the power of the bureaucracy. The fact that he's turning to OSHA to mandate these vaccines on employers of 100 or more, is there any precedent for this sort of thing? It seems like a gross abuse of what OSHA's designed to do.
Well, there is precedent for it, Larry. When the president, this same president, Joe Biden, turned to the CDC to use fumigation regulations to impose the continuation of the eviction moratorium. So Joe Biden is relying on his own unconstitutional usurpation of powers, which were struck down by the Supreme Court, to do precisely the same thing again in another area using Department of Labor. This is an outrageous abuse of authority. It will be struck down by the courts almost immediately when it is implemented, when the rule is published. The police power does not vest in the federal government. The president does not have that power. He does not have legislative power. He has no authority whatsoever to point to for this outrageous act of absolute tyranny. Let's just remember what he's doing. He's forcing companies and federal employees to get vaccination forcefully or lose their jobs, or to get tested, to required to be tested. There is no authority for this anywhere in statute or in the Constitution. What he's doing is he's doing something that Congress is supposed to do. Mm. He's legislating. He doesn't have that power. This violates that. It violates the separation of power.
Absolutely.
It is just unbelievable how sweeping and abusive this is, and not a bleep from the New York Times or the Washington Post. Liberals, you know, it's just like Chris says, if it weren't for double standards, they'd have no standards at all.
But it kind of makes you wonder if they do a lot of things like this to kind of distract from the national narrative of what's happening in Afghanistan, and that is really truly bringing Biden's polling numbers down. Yeah. I keep asking myself, like, why now? Why now would he come to this arbitrary 100 people number? Why would he do it now? Why didn't he do it 2 weeks ago? Why didn't he do all these other decisions? And I think it's that narrative. It's that change in what happened in Afghanistan, because it's so unbelievably bad that he's trying to draw that attention. And the New York Times, New York whatever else won't pay attention to it.
Go ahead, Joe.
He doesn't have any choice. He has to do something to distract from the catastrophic withdrawal from 100%. Afghanistan. There is just no doubt that in the pantheon of history, that foreign policy, national security, military decision in Afghanistan is the single worst presidential decision in over a century. There are 13 dead great American servicemen and women because of the incompetence, the stubbornness, the stupidity of this president of the United States.
Amen.
Change the subject is their mantra. That's what this is about.
Joe, there's plenty of disasters here in the first 8-plus months of the Biden presidency. And certainly when American citizens are now forced to choose between their employment and getting a vaccine, and as you just laid out, completely outside of any statute and actually defying a constitutional Supreme Court decision, striking down a similar decision from the Biden administration just a couple of weeks ago, every American citizen then will turn to the southern border and ask the question Peter Ducey asked: why wouldn't you mandate the same on people coming to the country illegally? Listen to this exchange real fast.
Requirement for people at a business with more than 100 people, it is not a requirement for migrants at the southern border. Why?
That's correct. Go ahead.
He said why. He asked why, and Jen Psaki's answer was, that's correct. Joe, there, there, There is legal precedent for demanding some level of health qualifications and vaccination qualifications before we allow people into our country, isn't there?
Yes, yes, there are such requirements. People can be denied admission to the United States for any one of a number of reasons, including health. They can be quarantined outside the United States and not allowed entry. The truth is, the President of the United States, with his mouthpiece, Jen Psaki, have made a habit out of violating the Constitution and the law, and specifically at the border. If you want to stop the spread of the pandemic, as the president says he does, the first thing you do is close the border. You go back to where it was when Donald Trump was president. Stay in Mexico. Do not cross the border. If you can't prove you've been vaccinated or have natural immunity, you may not cross this border. The president has the power to do that. He's not doing it. And therefore, by inaction and purposeful behavior, the current president of the United States is in fact spreading the virus by virtue of those coming across the border who are infected. This is absolutely outrageous, and he's doing it with impunity, because if there is a reason for this, it is the notion that they have decided to do what Barack Obama promised to do when he first became president, to transform America forever. That is what they have intended to do. It's why Jen Psaki's arrogant, stunningly arrogant performance every day at that podium angers people and brings fire to their bellies about how a president can be so unconstitutional in his behavior. It's just not that the guy's stupid or stubborn or arrogant. He's unconstitutional. Every single day he does something to violate the norms of the Constitution. And where are the great protectors of our freedoms at Yale and Harvard? They're just all fine with this because they like the ultimate result.
Well, I think it's interesting, too, that when people are able to ask the president questions, it's only a certain group of people that are able to ask him questions. It's only a preselected yeah. ones with preselected questions that are already screened. You know, what's interesting with working with the gubernatorial candidate here, he doesn't have preselected people that can ask questions. He doesn't have preselected people and
Lord
all those
knows
things.
The last president didn't have any preselected. Maybe he should have those, a couple of times.
Absolutely.
Hey, Joe, can you stick with us? I want to get your opinion on what Justice Breyer had to say about a potential retirement and the fact that
Senator Breyer.
There you go. All right, we'll get to more with Joe DiGenova in a moment. 7:15.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
He makes his own decision about if he's going to retire, but if he's going to retire, it should be sooner rather than later if you are concerned about the court.
What do you think of those calls?
Well, I think that they're entitled to their opinion. I think they, and not only they understand the political world much better than I, or they understand it pretty well. There we are. What else do you want me to say?
What else do you want him to say? Joe DiGenova, an extraordinary interview of Justice Breyer yesterday, and really sort of tacky, unseemly, very vocal calls for him to step down now so we can have this 50-50 Senate confirm Joe Biden's choice, or whoever's telling Joe Biden to choose. What do you make of this very public discussion of 83-year-old Justice Breyer and his future on the court?
Well, it's interesting that Democrats are always in favor of decorum until it gets in their way. And every time I hear Amy Klobuchar, all I can think of is her throwing a three-ring binder at her staff member during a meeting. If she had had a three-ring binder, she would have thrown it at Breyer. The bottom line is that Breyer is what? Now, first of all, ask yourself this question. Why did Breyer grant this interview? Why did he do this? He did it basically to say to the people who want him to retire, go to hell. Now, Breyer would never say go to hell, because he's basically a senator. He's not a justice. If you read his opinions, I mean, they're just like political speeches. They're not good jurisprudence. But the fact is, he knows who's in control of the Senate. He knows the McConnell rule. He knows that when Scalia died and President Obama nominated Merrick Garland to replace Scalia, he knew that McConnell was not going to let that go forward. Based on the precedent of when a president nominates someone and the opposite party is in control of the Senate. And Breyer knows that now. He knows he's going to wait until the 2022 elections, And he's basically, it's a riverboat gamble for the Democrats. If the Republicans take over the Senate in 2022, that's the end of it. Breyer will stay there. He will not resign. Or he may just say, you know what? The game is over. I can't do anything about this. But it's pretty clear he's not happy about the way he's been pushed around by people, by the binder-throwing senator from Minnesota.
Yeah. And by the way, Joe, in light of the Supreme Court deciding not to block the Texas abortion law last week, we saw, first of all, the Satanic Temple come out against it. And did you notice all of the, like, Salon and Huffington Post and other commentators saying, well, you know, the Satanists have a point here?
Yes, then they can't get their hat over it.
They are.
Very true.
It's a horny dilemma for them, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, this is episodic ethics. They just pick whatever they need at any given moment to make a point. And the fact is, the points are not effective. Everybody understands what's going on here.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really pathetic.
It's renewed Democrats' call to pack the court, or excuse me, to expand the court and then pack it. And Breyer, you got to give him this. He criticized that idea. He says, no, it should lock in at 9.
As did Ruth Bader Ginsburg and almost every member of the court. They're all, whatever their ideological views, they understand the importance of the court in our constitutional scheme. And they know that what FDR tried to do and failed to do is no better now than it was in the 1930s when FDR tried to do it. Yeah. This is a power grab. It's so brazen, so unconstitutional, so unworthy of a real political party.
Meanwhile, did you catch Madonna yesterday at the Video Music Awards there for MTV, decked out? She's 63 years old, and she looked like a stripper.
I missed it.
I'll send you a picture. Joe, thanks. Good talking to you, as always.
You bet, Larry.
I don't know why I try to get Joe in trouble with things like that. It's 7:21 on WMAL.